Welcome to Get Right for Sunday, a podcast designed to help you prepare for Sunday and beyond. I am Pastor Wright, and each week I have a conversation exploring the Bible readings for this upcoming Sunday. Join us as we discuss how the lessons are applied to our daily life in Christ. Welcome to Get Right for Sunday. I am Pastor Wright, and today we're going to look at the readings for the first Sunday in Advent. And so it's a whole new church year. We get to start over at the beginning, and Advent again is all about the coming of our Lord, the promise, the fulfillment. And if you think about this just for a moment, the church after the ascension of Jesus has been in a state of Advent, because we're waiting for him to come. We're waiting for him to come back as he has promised to fulfill all things, bringing us to life eternal in the resurrection with the new heaven and the new earth. And so this season of Advent, which we prepare the church, we prepare our families, we prepare ourselves and the world for the celebration of the birth of our Lord, the nativity, the incarnation, Jesus coming to us, we get to be reminded that he is coming again. So this is all about preparation. This is all about being ready. And that is exactly what our readings for the first Sunday in Advent are all about. The first reading, the Old Testament, is Isaiah 64, 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil. And again, you see all this anticipation language, this coming language. So that's from the prophet Isaiah, and we'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. But then we also have the epistle lesson. This is 1 Corinthians. So you have the Apostle St. Paul. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. And God is faithful, and that is who you were called in, and you have fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And again, we're talking about relation and our connection to Jesus. And so St. Paul sets that down and lays that down so that we know who we are in Christ, especially as we wait for him to come. And then you have two options for the gospel lesson, and we've chosen the St. Mark 13, 24 through 37 text. And this is really interesting because I don't know about you, but when you think of Advent, you immediately think of all things Christmassy. So you got to start talking about little baby Jesus and all the neat little things, you know, the angels singing, the shepherds, and all these things that are Christmassy. But Advent, again, is about this preparation. And when we think about the preparation of our Lord coming, we need to think about judgment. And as we have heard in the last three Sundays, previous to the first Sunday in Advent, Jesus is coming back for judgment. Jesus is coming to separate the sheep from the goat. He is coming to proclaim the fullness and gather his people, his sheep, his flock to eternity with him. This continues all the way into Advent because, again, we're looking for him to come back to fulfill, complete, and make good on his promises of forever. And so the context of St. Mark 13 is you have the disciples. They were walking with Jesus, and they asked about, when will the end of the world happen? When will all this come to end? When is the apocalypse? And how will we be able to know? And I think this is a fair question. Now, throughout Scripture, especially the Old Testament, nowhere does it say, and when this happened, be ready, because that's the end of the world. And We all want to know. And this is a horrible question. Would you want to know the day and time of your death? Would it help you prepare? Would it make you live more fully if you only knew you had X, Y, and Z days? I recently read a book. I think it's 4,000 weeks. And that is roughly how many weeks we have of life. And that's just an average. And when you start thinking about this in numbers, that's not that many. And it gets really humbling how long or how little time we have. And so the disciples with Jesus, who has spoken about his death, his resurrection, and he speaks about our death and our resurrection, they ask, and like I said, a fair question. Hey, Jesus, when is the end of the world? How can we get ready? We need to be prepared. And Jesus does that. He truly does prepare us. Now, he doesn't prepare us by saying, on this date, this time, the end of the world will happen. I'm showing up. Nothing like that. He, in fact, says, it is not for you to know. And this isn't Jesus trying to be like, ooh, I got a secret and I'm not going to tell you. It's nothing like that. This is God's plan, God's will, and it will be done. And we need to understand that, and we need to know our place in that. He will come when he's good and ready to come. And that's not a threat, especially for us. We pray for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the fulfillment of all that he said he would do and give. This is our completion, our fulfillment in him. So we rejoice and we, with great anticipation, look forward to all that is ahead. So again, the disciples ask, when's the end of the world? When is the final judgment? And Jesus says, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender, it puts out leaves. You know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. I slow down on that because that is very important. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows in the morning, lest he come suddenly and finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Now, this is a huge thing, because once again, we have the promise of our Lord coming back, the master of the house, the master of the universe, the master of creation. He is coming, and he's given you stuff to do. He's given you life. What are you supposed to do with your life? You are to live it out in faith. That is good works. That is life of sacrifice for your neighbor. That is devotion to God and his word and his promises. These are the things that flow from us naturally as we are baptized into Christ, baptized into his life, as his life is lived out in us. So this staying awake thing, this means that we are to be vigilant in the way we live out our faith. We're not work righteous people. We're not earning our salvation. We're being who God said we are. You're forgiven. You're alive. You are his. Act like it. And it really is that simple. And I know simple doesn't mean easy, because if it was easy, then everybody would be doing it, including me. We struggle at this. We struggle at being vigilant. I have things to do. I have bills to pay. I have whatever. And so what do? We occupy our time with frivolous things. We all do this. And can frivolous things be beneficial to our faith? Actually, yes. Hobbies and reading and things that build us up, that actually do good for us. Yes, those are good. And I don't want to say that hobbies and reading and things are frivolous. I mean mundane or things that don't seem all that churchly. Woodworking, how is that churchly? Stamp collecting, how is that churchly? Well, you know, whatever. But does this better you? Does this better your community? Does this serve? And so on and so forth. And you need to think about your life and the things placed in your life. How are they serving you to grow closer to God in your devotion and your life? And we need to be serious about these things. And again, it's hard, and especially in this time and age when we have everything that distracts us. And we need to take this serious. This is spiritual warfare. And what I mean by that is God has blessed us with all of creation. And he's actually made us co-creators. And I love this imagery. He's given us all this stuff. And he says, go use this for your benefit to glorify me. Now, that's great. But what do? With that? We take all the stuff of creation and we misuse it. We abuse it. We abuse and misuse our bodies, our families, the material things, creation, however you want to do it. We do not use the things in our life according to God's plan, God's intent. That's why we're forgiven. That's why we repent. And these are all the things of the gospel. Yes, even repentance is of the gospel. We are commanded to repent and believe, but we do this out of faith. We do this out of our understanding, which has been revealed to us through the Holy Ghost, that we repent, we turn away because we know the gospel. We know the love of Christ. And these are important because we're motivated by mercy, by grace, his mercy, his grace, not ours. And so we change. We are something different. And so when we think about this, that staying awake, that looking at the seasons, not too long ago, it was just a few years ago, we had the solar eclipse. And dear listener, it was terrifying to see the world go dark. I was standing in the church parking lot, and it was so dark that the bats flew out of the bell tower. This was just so eerie on so many levels, because it doesn't feel right for it to go dark in the middle of the day. And that is what our Lord is promising, that these things will not seem right. Things will change because that's exactly what's going to happen. He is going to come, Jesus is going to come with the new heaven, the new earth. He's going to come to fix and fulfill all that is broken. When he said it was finished upon the cross, he meant it. And we're going to see that completion in the resurrection when we have the new heaven, the new earth. And we need to be ready because we do not want to be left out in the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth and so on and so forth. That's where we will be cast out. We want to be left in Christ. And that is why that charge, stay awake. And that's stay awake in his word, because his word will not pass away. And we need to really know and understand this, because it's so easy to look at the scripture, look at the Bible and say, oh, those are nice stories. They happened so long ago. But we need to hear that this is our story. This is our life. This is what Christ has given to us. He is our past. And we can say that because the crucifixion, his life was in our past. And our present is in him. Our future is in him. And so Christ is with us, regardless if we look back or we look forward, if we look up, if we look down. He is with us because we've been baptized into him and he carries us and his life is lived out through us. And that is why we get to say, stay awake. That's why we go to church, to be reminded. Yes, we should be reminded of our sin. We should be reminded of the law. This law condemns. This law breaks. This law crushes. And then we get to be immediately built up in the gospel. We get to hear our sins are forgiven. We get to feel the relief of the law being taken away and put upon Christ. And that is where we have the freedom to live, to serve, to stay awake, to trust, believe, and hold fast to his word. What does his word do? His word reveals the love of God in Christ Jesus. His word pronounces you his. His word pronounces you forgiven. His word pronounces you alive. His word unbinds you from sin, death, and hell. And if God's word is the fullness of all his power, all his might, his promises, then what do we have to worry about? And I know that is so easy to say because this world hurts. There are a lot of scary things and a lot of things that weigh on us. But put those in perspective of the eternal mercy of your God, Father, who sent his Son, who was revealed by the Holy Ghost so that you would know salvation. I heard this phrase, and I've been dwelling on it, and I love it, and I appreciate the pastors who were speaking on this, and they said, a hope without promise is just a wish, and we don't wish for forgiveness. We don't wish for the resurrection. We hope for it in the promises and the foundation of God's word. We get to take that all the way to the bank of forever in him. That is what is laid before us. And especially in this text, as we prepare for Advent, as we prepare for the birth of our Lord, the celebration of that, we are literally celebrating our salvation, our redemption, our rebirth in Christ. That is what we get to look to and for. This is why we sing with joy and excitement, because the anticipation of Jesus is for us. This motivates us, this moves us, this animates us to serve and live in and through the life of Christ. So let Jesus come back. Let us rejoice when we hear the trumpet and the voice of the archangel of God who announces his coming. Because we know what that means. It means salvation forever with him in our new perfected resurrected bodies in the new heaven and the new earth. Thank you for listening to Get Right for Sunday. I know that your time is valuable, and of all the things that you could have watched or listened to, you have chosen to deepen your biblical understanding with Get Right for Sunday. Would you take a moment to give a 5-star rating of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform? This actually helps others to be able to find Get Right for Sunday. Again, thank you for your time, your prayers, and support.